In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We need to stop with our fake piety. We need to stop being self-righteous, holier-than-thou Christians, whether it be anger at the immorality of this world, or resentment towards someone who has more than we, and so we immediately pigeonhole them as materialistic. Whether it be a slighted comment toward an unwed mother, or a proverbial backhand across the face of a loose-tongued man, it is piety, it is fake piety, and it needs to stop. It is fake because we end up thinking that we are better than they are, and so we end up trusting in our works. And it needs to stop because hell is real, and our piety will never provide a way out. It is pride. It is pride. And pride is far more deadly to the Christian than murder or adultery or thievery, because pride hides under the form of piety. Pride hides behind godliness and our good works, so we think we are fine as we are. And so God destroys our piety. He takes it all away. He takes away all that we have done, the good and the bad, and he leaves us with nothing at all, nothing to give to him, not even one little scrap, no leg to stand on. He destroys it all so that way our pride is crushed and we have nothing to boast of in ourselves. We flee to God when we commit outward acts of anger, when we respond to evil with evil, outbursts of rage. We flee to God when we let our eyes linger a bit too long on someone who is barely dressed. But do we still flee to God when we divert our eyes? Do we still seek God and his forgiveness when we repay evil with kindness? It is piety, it is good works, but it cannot save. And so to enter the kingdom of heaven, God must tear down all that we think is great about ourselves. To enter the kingdom of heaven, your good works must be better than the works of the Pharisees. Your piety must far surpass theirs. That's the topic of conversation today, how to get into heaven. So God must tear it all down. He can't put up with it. He can't let it remain as it is. Even a hint of piety, God will strike down, for he is an almighty and a loving Father. You have just heard the Ten Commandments read. And for some reason, we think we have a pretty good handle on these Ten Commandments. We think we are pious enough. We think that we have a pretty good handle on these commandments because we switch them around. No longer are we to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, but we are only to be perfect as our siblings, or as a friend, or just one step higher than society, or we are to be perfect as Mom and Dad are perfect. And because Mom and Dad told us stories of their failings in their youth, we think we have a little bit of leeway and we'll still turn out okay. This is why our fake piety needs to stop, because it always ends up comparing myself with someone else and assuming God is more pleased with me for what I have done. There is no difference, Scripture says. There is no difference between the father who scolds his child and the child who is scolded. Both are sinners. There is no difference between the unwed mother and the faithful, devout mother and wife. Both are still sinners. There is no difference between the suicide bomber and the first responder. There is no difference between the hostages and the hostage takers. Before God, all are sinners, and it is shocking to hear it, that good works do not augment me before God or increase anything before God. Because we have this innate feeling that that first responder is better before God. But there is no difference, Scripture says. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are not good enough. Outwardly, we may be that first responder. Inwardly, we may want to only help people and give our lives to them and even sacrifice our lives for them. But it's not enough to get us to heaven. Our love for others is not enough. Our devotion is not enough. Our piety, our humility, our righteousness, our good works, everything that we have done, it's not enough. And so we must leave it all behind. Sure, I guess you could say that we are better than the majority of society, but what does that mean? It doesn't get us anywhere. And yet still, how easily the words, you fool, you idiot, stupid, and dummy, slip off of our lips. Like children, we call each other names and make fun simply because we are bored. Mostly because we are comparing with them. And it's always easy to attack their person, to exalt myself. Pride soothes this conscience by saying that that person deserved it because they inconvenienced me somehow. And yet we are blissfully unaware of all the names that we have been called because we have inconvenienced others, or worse. Pride once again is quick to defend itself, that I don't deserve to be talked to that way, I'm better than that. But we really aren't, for there is no difference. We all have sinned. So even if we are outwardly better than others and our actions are more pious, it is not enough to get us to heaven. We are to be better than the Pharisees who studied the Word of God day and night, and we can barely keep watch for 1 hour on Sunday morning. We are to be more loving than the most godly of saints, more helpful than any father or mother could ever hope to be, more zealous than Saint Paul, more faithful than even Abraham was, and willing to sacrifice more than he was willing to sacrifice. We are to be better than the best, or else we will not make it into the kingdom of heaven. Better outwardly and better inwardly. No pride, no name calling, no grudges, no refusing to forgive someone, and not even having to step away for a brief second in order to cool down before we talk to them. Does your Heavenly Father step away for a brief second when you come and confess your sins to cool down? He immediately forgives. This is why our piety is not good enough. Trying hard doesn't earn us extra bonus points before God. God doesn't grade us based on someone else. It's not graded on a curve. Be perfect as I, the Lord your God, am perfect. And so God destroys our piety because our pride is hiding behind it, and we think that we are a little bit better than that suicide bomber or you name someone else. He will not let us think that we have done enough. He won't let us even think that we have added just a little bit to our salvation. God strikes down our pride by taking away all that we hold dear, both the bad works and the good, and we are left with nothing to offer before him, nothing to give to him that he should love us. This may be the reason why we have that chronic illness. This may be the reason why finances, marriage, parenting, or just life hasn't gone the way that we wish it would. An almighty and merciful God is reminding us that our works are not enough. It hurts painfully to go through. Once again, God does it out of love to direct us away from ourselves and what we can accomplish and toward him and his grace. So these shootings, these bombings, this progressive culture, even just simply natural disasters, God uses it to turn us away from self, away from this world, and toward him alone. He's it. He's all that we have. Our piety cannot stop people from bombing airports. Our morality and our good works cannot prevent an immoral culture. Our righteousness is not enough. And if everyone were like us, just what pet sins would permeate society? Only we know what resides deep within our hearts. So when we look at ourselves, we are no different from anyone else, for we too are part of sinful humanity, corrupted by sin. And yet we are vastly different from everyone else, but only by grace. And we do have a righteousness, we do have a piety that far surpasses even the righteousness of the Pharisees. It just doesn't come from within us in the least, ever. It comes solely from Christ. He showed perfect love. There is his righteousness. He showed perfect love. He doesn't call names. He doesn't mock or make fun of the tax collectors or prostitutes or Nicodemus, but he loved. He loved that tax collector who stole from his fellow Jews. He loved that member of the Sanhedrin who came to him in the middle of the night, terrified and afraid. He loved the uneducated fisherman. He loved the woman caught in adultery. He loves you and he loves me. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And Christ's love is enough. His piety is enough. His zeal, his humility, his help is far more than enough for you and me. He had every right to come down to this earth and condemn the world. But he did not come to condemn. He came to give his life so that you and I might be saved. Righteousness and piety comes from outside of us. It comes only from Christ. And yet all of it is made yours through faith in him. So whatever Christ has done, you yourself have done. For whatever Christ has done is now given to you to adorn you from head to toe. You know of all the good that he did by reading those scriptures. God counts all of that as yours in Christ. Whatever Christ is, you also now are. His holy life is your holy life. His perfect death is your perfect death. For you have been buried with Christ through baptism into death. You have been raised with Christ through baptism to live a new and a holy and a godly life. So we need to stop with our fake piety and trusting in it as if it is something great before God. We need to stop thinking that God is somehow more pleased with me because I'm a better person than so-and-so. It is fake and it leads us away from Christ. And so God puts us on our knees. He puts us on our knees by taking away all that we think is great about ourselves so that we have no place to look except up at Christ. He's it. There is the righteousness that is given to you fully by grace. God is pleased with you, not because you got it right, but because of Christ and solely because of Christ. And so you cannot increase it by your good works, and you do not decrease it when you fall, for we still do fall. It is not based on your works. God's love is based solely on Christ and what he has done for you. So that means you are the saints of God. You are the redeemed. You are the baptized. You are members of his holy church who live in the world and yet are not of this world. You are his beautifully adorned bride, dressed with his perfection and his righteousness. It's by grace, and by grace alone. And so you are not greater than I am, and I am not above you. That also means that St. Paul, Abraham, and even the Blessed Virgin Mary is not above you. And neither are you above them. This also means that you are not above that tax collector, or the prostitute, or the unwed mother. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You are equal in his righteousness. You are saved by his enduring love. So this is why we cannot boast. We cannot boast in what we are, for all that we are comes from Christ. He has made us who we are, holy saints of God. We cannot boast in anything that we accomplish in this life as if it were innate in us. Even all that comes solely from God. It is God who works those good works in us. And it is Christ who takes those good works and scrubs them to remove the stain of sin and then presents them to his heavenly Father as holy and righteous. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Pride in our good works leads us away from Christ and leads us to the position of the Pharisees. But pride in the Lord, in what he has accomplished for us, leads us to glory in Christ and in his salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.